Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we have a treat for you. We also have with us in studio Dr. Mark Strauss. Mark Strauss is a professor of New Testament at Bethel Seminary in San Diego. He earned his PhD in New Testament from the University of Aberdeen. Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Great to be here, Bill. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I haven't seen you in so long. And I think we should mention that Eric and I both took classes from you. I took a Hebrews and Philippians class that you were teaching at Bethel, and Eric, you had Greek.
Oh, yeah. I retook Greek after graduating from seminary in 1991 and had forgotten a lot of it. And the seminary had a deal where for a few bucks, you could actually retake classes. And that's how I met you, Mark. Really enjoyed that. And I'm back into Greek again.
And I must say, Mark, you haven't aged a bit. Now, Eric is another question.
That's true.
But it's a pleasure to have you here. And I tell you, the timing is great because an article came out recently that deals with the reliability of the Bible. And of course, that is a problem here in Utah because Mormonism holds to this position that they believe the Bible as far as it is translated correctly. And we've discussed many times on this show and also in our symposiums that we have at churches, this can be awfully confusing because it's really not a translation issue with the Mormon leadership. It's more of a transmission issue, but those words tend to get lost in the conversation. And I wanted to talk to you about that. And I wanted to start off by reading a comment that happened to be published recently on the web, on the Gospel Coalition website, February 8th, 2016. It was an article titled "Debunking Silly Statements About the Bible." And this is the way the article began. It says, "One American tabloid recently said this about the Bible," and here's the quote, "No television preacher has ever read the Bible. Neither has any evangelical politician. Neither has the Pope. Neither have I. And neither have you. At best, we've all read a bad translation, a translation of translations of translations of hand-copied copies of copies of copies of copies, and on, hundreds of times." Now, being a New Testament scholar, Mark, how would you respond to that kind of a statement?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? Well, first of all, even the statement "bad translation" makes me shudder because I'm involved in Bible translation, and I would say these are phenomenally good translations. But then his comment about a translation of a translation of a translation sounds like something out of the Da Vinci Code. That kind of a line was made in that. Is simply absolutely wrong. We are translating, when we translate the Bible, we are translating from the Greek and Hebrew. These are translations of the original text, not of translations of translations of translations. And we have earlier and more reliable manuscripts of the New Testament than any other ancient document in existence today. Any ancient Greek great classic like by Homer or Greek historian like Plutarch, the manuscripts we have for those are far later and much less reliable than anything we have for the New Testament or the Old Testament. And so in terms of the reliability, the fact that we have manuscripts that are close to the original, the fact that we have expert translators who are communicating accurately the message or meaning of the original text, I think is just obvious based on what we have. And so a statement like that is just misses the point completely. It's fallacious.
But you'd be surprised how many people, lay people, do hear this, and unfortunately, because they don't take the time to study where this individual may have arrived at such a conclusion, they tend to buy in it. I know Mormons have told us this. This is not very different than what we've had Latter-day Saints, well-meaning, no doubt, very sincere, no doubt, But we have had Latter-day Saints use an argument very similar to this. And I think that's what's unfortunate, is because when a Mormon comes to the realization that Mormonism is not true, that well of the Bible has already been poisoned.
Sure.
And so they don't know where to turn. And we try very hard when we're discussing issues with Latter-day Saints, whether in email or in person, on the streets or whatever, to get them to see that, no, this is not something you need to throw away. This is something that you should probably hold on to and at least check into it a little bit deeper. Bart Ehrman, he hasn't helped.
Right.
And and I know there are Mormons who look at Bart Ehrman as almost being like a hero because they think Bart Ehrman is supporting their position on this.
Well, and you see, there's a necessity to debunk the Bible, because anyone who studies and reads the Bible recognizes that the Book of Mormon is in direct contradiction. Mm. It's much like Islam. The Quran tells Bible stories, but it gets them wrong. So the only way to defend the Quran is to debunk the Bible. So if there's a necessity, they're going to come up with any, even the most outlandish arguments they're going to use, and those arguments are going to get repeated over and over again until that mantra becomes viewed as true.
As far as this kind of an argument, what would be some of the things that you could tell somebody, other than an overview that, well, that's not accurate? What specifically could you tell somebody that would probably put them in ease when it comes to this? You've already mentioned how we go from the Hebrew and we go from the Greek. It's not a translation of translation or copies of copies of copies. As far as the copies are concerned, how many manuscripts that we have in existence, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, sure. And the Old Testament is somewhat different than the New Testament. We have the oldest Hebrew Bible, the copies of the Hebrew text, before the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, was from about AD 900. And there was they were copied by what we call the Masoretes, Masoretic scholars, and meticulously copied, but there was quite a large gap between the copies we had and when the books were actually written. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls confirmed, because many copies of the Old Testament text were found in that, confirmed that through that 1,400-year period, the text was meticulously copied, was accurately copied, and that we do have highly accurate copies. Now, that doesn't mean we have perfect copies. Copies, whenever humans make a copy, there's going to be errors. But by examining the copies we have, by using rules established of what we call textual criticism, how copyists tended to make mistakes, we can work back and reach something that is extremely close to the original text. The New Testament is the same way. We have upward of 5,000 manuscripts, handwritten copies of the New Testament. A good number of these manuscripts are very early, much, much closer to the original writing, as I said, than any other ancient Greek or Latin document.
Mormon leaders have tried to give the impression that the various translations that have been made over the years sometimes had mistakes that were naturally human mistakes. Those things happen. But they also try to give the impression that a lot of the copyists were purposely trying to alter the text. Do you see a lot of evidence of that happening?
Absolutely not. I mean, in terms of theological doctrines like the deity of Christ, for example, or salvation by faith alone, these doctrines permeate the New Testament, passage after passage after passage. This is not like someone trying to tweak a single passage. And the variants that we have and the differences between the manuscripts do not concern any major doctrine of faith. We determine doctrines based on multiple texts, not any single text. So nobody is trying to tweak the text to move it in their particular direction. If you were to find that, and in extreme cases, you might find that in an occasional case, you don't see it throughout the New Testament. And we base our theology, we base truth, not on any single passage. We base truth on the entire testimony of Scripture. And these basic doctrines of the faith are true because we find them throughout the Gospels. We find them throughout the letters of Paul. We find them throughout all of the general epistles and so forth. These theological doctrines permeate Scripture.
When you are trying to understand what a text says from the Greek into the English, going back to that original premise that I just raised about this presupposition that many Latter-day Saints have, I don't get the impression that you're trying to tweak it according to what you want to believe, and you don't want to make the Bible say what you already believe. You're trying to tell people, this is what we believe the author was saying.
Exactly. And there's no doubt we all come to Scripture with presuppositions.
Certainly.
We all come to Scriptures with a worldview. Mm-hmm. In fact, acknowledging that and saying, this is my history, this is my background, these are my beliefs, by acknowledging that, I can guard against allowing that to bias my translations. But the goal of translation, and I'm on the NIV translation committee, and I can tell you the goal of everyone on that committee is never to defend a particular theological doctrine. The purpose is always the same, to get back to what the original author meant in their historical and cultural context. So we want to look at the culture, the background, the context, everything related to that writing, and determine the author's original intent. That's our sole goal and purpose. If that intent were different than some theological truth, then so be it. We want to understand what the message God gave that author in their original context. And that's a relatively objective endeavor, if you think about it. If you look at a document, you can determine what the author intended by examining that document in context. There's the key, understanding it in its historical, cultural, literary, linguistic context.
Now, sometimes, Mark, there's going to be blips or scratches. What do modern translators do to let the reader understand that perhaps there might be variant readings mm-hmm. that could affect the meaning that a person would get out of reading that?
Yeah, exactly. Something is always lost in a translation, certainly, and there are differences of opinion in particular passages what they mean. If it's a really difficult issue where there's two possible views and there's good, strong arguments for both views, then what we would tend to do is put the one reading in the text and then add a footnote. And that footnote would say, or it could mean this. Normally, you don't have to do that because when you read a text in context, you're going to understand the meaning based on that culture and background and context and so forth. If there is a difficult decision to make, we put the footnote describing the alternate interpretation. So again, our goal is to get it right. And if we're not sure we can get it exactly right, we're going to give you the other alternative in the footnote.
So basically, we don't find a long history of evil transcribers and corrupt priests, as Joseph Smith said, trying to purposely make the Bible say what they want it to say.
It's just absurd to even say that, because you look at the history of Bible translation and you see the vast majority, apart from certain groups, and we could talk about Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, who produce their own version, which is intentionally geared toward their theological perspective. But if you look at the history of Bible translation, Christians who've sought to translate the Bible, no matter what their particular theological background, they tend to come out with the same conclusions, because this is what the text meant in its original context.
I think a lot of Latter-day Saints need to understand that, and I find it so sad when a Mormon does find that Joseph Smith and the LDS leadership have betrayed them as religious leaders. They tend to want to throw everything out, and that seems to be so unnecessary. Tomorrow, we want to talk about this subject a little bit more with Dr. Mark Strauss, who is our guest today on Viewpoint on Mormonism, and we hope that you'll join us in tomorrow's broadcast.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we appreciate your support of Viewpoint on Mormonism. And to show you our appreciation during the month of February, for your gift of $20 or more, we'd like to send you a searchable PDF version of Bill McKeever's new and expanded edition of In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations. Simply go to mrm.org and click the donate button. Once your gift of $20 or more is processed, we'll send you Bill's book as an email attachment. And again, thank you for your support.